It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
All right, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. The 409 Tailgate Crew has opened up a retail outlet in Happy Valley. It's the Tailgate Corner at the Emporium in the Nittany Mall. Join them on Friday night prior to the home game for a free tasting of barbecue tailgate barbecue and wine. If you always wanted to give their barbecue or their wines a sample, this is your opportunity. Okay, one quick thing. We need to get an email address from Michael from Hoboken, New Jersey, our winner of last week. Send it to info@ksnsports.net. Michael, your emails are bouncing and we need to get them back. And the listener, Dean, with the number one question, like Michael from Hoboken, will win a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some sauces and rubs. First question, Ross, are you ready?
I am ready.
This question comes from Ross in Harrisburg. I went to Penn State, not Princeton. It's Ross from Harrisburg.
Yeah. It's not. Am I asking myself questions at this point?
With the firing of their head coach, do you see any commits from Rutgers that Penn State should pursue or would be interested in? Maybe no. Evan Simon from Mannheim Central?
It's gonna be a quick
no.
answer.
No?
I don't think that they, I don't think that they are or would be.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know Rutgers commits that closely.
I looked over it. Evan Simon from Mannheim Central is a quarterback, and it's a
Evan is the like their highest ranked recruit, I think.
He is.
And, you know, Penn State didn't offer him a scholarship in the first place.
Right.
And they already have their quarterback, right? The Las Vegas kid?
They do.
Micah Bowen?
They do. They have their kid for the 2020. All right, Ross, do you think players should have the right to be paid for their name, image, and likeness? And will this negatively impact parity even more in college football?
Well, this is the big question. Who's the question from?
It's from Orloff in Ukraine, because I think he wanted me to write, but it's actually a guy named Brad. He wanted me to read it like in a Ukrainian accent, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh. Slow start to this.
Where is he actually from?
Brad, and we think it's in...
Yes. All right. Well, then
we recognize.
I was going to say, good question. But
he's not going to win if he gives different addresses. Sorry, Brad, or should I say Orloff from the Ukraine? So I've talked about this a lot this week on my new radio.com show called Home and Home. A lot. You know, the more people I talk to about it, the more they think that the more I guess they've convinced me that this is okay. So my concern is it goes well beyond just a couple of companies giving money to a couple star players for their name, image, and likeness. It goes well beyond that, because what it is now is it creates an avenue or an opening for overzealous or maybe just perfectly zealous boosters to essentially give the colleges a payroll, if you will. There's nothing to prevent the Phil Knights of the world or the T. Boone Pickens, rest in peace, of the world from saying to Mike Gundy, hey, I'll give you $2 million per recruiting class. And they can go out there and say to these parents and these kids who are 15 and 16, all I can tell you is you'll have a marketing and likeness of at least $50,000 a year if you come to Oklahoma State or wherever. So that's kind of where this is headed. And then I get a little bit nervous about these kids negotiating those deals and being 15 and having to have agents and stuff. I guess the counterexample to that, the counter argument to that would be that on some level that already goes on. I think that's in extreme cases and or the SEC where that goes on that prevalently. And that this could at least eliminate the uncle, the bag man, the 7-on-7 coach, the AAU coach, whatever. And so that the kid and his family will actually get the money rather than some unscrupulous individuals around the kid. So the more I talk to people about it, and people say the rich get richer. Maybe, but the rich are already investing in the resources heavily. Maybe this changes things a little bit, and maybe some, maybe now that you can do this, maybe some boosters at American conference schools. Like maybe there's a UConn guy that just has a ton of money and he's sick of losing. He's like, look, I'll give you $2 million a year. Let's go out and go get the good players. I am a believer in open markets, free markets. So I think that part of it's a positive. I just wonder what happens when they give these budgets to these kids and like they don't pan out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because at some point then the booster's gonna be like, wait a minute, I'm giving you $50,000 a year for that kid. He stinks. I'm not giving them, like, this is a whole new ball game. It's really a wild, wild west. I don't know how it will play out, but I do know, I always thought it was a crock of crap where at the school bookstores, they're selling one or two jerseys that just happen to be the jersey numbers of the two best kids on the team. I do think those kids should get money. I just think this is opening a Pandora's box, and nobody really knows all the repercussions, Bob.
I mean, that was pretty well said. I had seen some people reference Phil Knight and like what would happen if, you know, it just became an arms race, a financial arms race. And I just, the curiosity of me is, how do you legislate, or how do you kind of make sure it doesn't get out of control? I think Ross is right. I mean, I have not researched it enough. It is curious to hear some of the people that are staunchly against it. The Ohio State AD, I believe Jim Delaney also came out against it. Penn State issued a statement that couldn't have been more watered down, and just we're trying to educate ourselves, and we're taking notes, and we might have something more to say later. But I just think that it's caught a lot of people, some people by surprise, and they're not sure quite how to react. And I think what Ross said is probably right. You got to be careful what you wish for if you do open the floodgates, the financial floodgates, because there's always someone that's going to be trying to look for an edge. So that will obviously happen.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce rubs and 409 tailgate wine needs. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. Don't forget, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, let's keep going, Ross. George from Chambersburg asked, Cam Sullivan Brown had a few nice catches in the Maryland game. Do you think he could be used in place of maybe Justin Shorter or Daniel George? He seemed to be quite effective and reliable.
No. Okay. I mean, he could be. I think he'll just be part of the rotation. I don't know that he did anything that made me think he's better than those other guys. I think that he, if anything, showed that the team should have trust and faith in him, and maybe he gets a little more snaps. I don't think it'll – well, I guess it's got to be the expense of somebody. But I didn't watch Cam Sullivan Brown think he should definitely be playing over Daniel George and Justin Shorter, if that's the question. I thought, yeah, he looks like he can get the job done, and they should give him some snaps.
All right, Mark in Murrysville, Pennsylvania asks, Hi, Ross. I love the Keystone Sports Network's team and their analysis of Penn State football. After the Maryland game, do you still think that one of the areas the team needs to upgrade would be quarterback, or would you go with a different area now heading into the tough October schedule that we play?
Well, I don't think that they need to upgrade on Sean Clifford's performance against Maryland. I think if he can keep doing that, that's a really good sign. He performed really well. I don't think we should ever get too carried away with a one-game sample size for any position. I mean, based on the Maryland game, you wouldn't need to upgrade anywhere. You know what I mean?
Go right. ahead,
Bob. Yeah, so I would just say one thing that's kind of starting to become clear about Sean is that, like, just about everyone else, like Trace, like everyone else, he's competitive, but he is hyper, super competitive. And I think it's been a little bit of a learning process for him to manage himself and his emotions going into the game. James talked about it was on, they were a little worried about him before the Maryland game because he wanted to play so badly. And I think this during the first four games, he's kind of learned a little bit to kind of, you know, just take a breath, just kind of try and focus, because I think that's been a part of the game that he's – it's taken him a little time to get used to. It's not necessarily the physical part. It's, You know, it's the mental part, but it's also getting his emotions in check. And I think there might be something to that. And I think he will get better at that.
All right, this one comes from the Riz in Princeton, New Jersey. He says, Sir Ross the Great, regarding the Maryland game, do you think Penn State is starting to look really good? Or was Maryland just really, really that bad? Thanks.
Kind of already addressed that. I think it was more Penn State good than Maryland bad. I don't think we have a good question yet, so let's keep going.
All right, this is from Landon in Savannah, Georgia. He says, is it me or is Dan Chisena two questionable calls away from being Penn State's most reliable 50-50 ball guy?
I mean, Bob kind of talked about that. I think even without the questionable calls, he is their best 50-50 guy, which is kind of surprising because I would have thought that would have been shorter.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, Chisena looks pretty good. That's the problem, too, with the prior question about Cam Sullivan Brown. Like, how many they only have so many receivers to go around. We're to the point now where we get mad about which of the four running backs they play. We get mad about these six different receivers. We get mad that they've got, Ellis Brooks should be playing more. Oh, really? Because Jan Johnson's the captain who gets them lined up and had a huge interception. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're playing them all, and they should.
I agree, and I'm beginning to think there's a little bit of an art form to making the contested catch that not just anyone can do it. You got to track the ball. You got to time your leap.
Without question.
And I just think that there's a lot more to it, I think, than people realize, and not everyone can do it. But Chris Godwin can do it, and we can see that he's doing a great job in the NFL, and Chisena is a guy that I think is really good at this. Mike Gesicki was another guy at Penn State who could do it.
One more real quick. Jerry in Arlington, Texas asked Ross, after four games as a starter, what areas do you see Rashid Walker needing improvement, if any at all?
I thought he was pretty good against Maryland. I thought that was his best game. Like any young offensive lineman, is Arlington, Texas or Virginia?
Arlington, Texas.
We get a lot of Arlington people.
Yep.
I feel like Penn State alums go to Arlington, Texas or Arlington, Virginia. I would say just his technique, which will just come.
Right.
You know, just his hand usage, his consistency of his pass sets. I got to tell you, I've never done this before. None of them jumped out to me. We will double down. There will be two winners next week.
All right.
We're not giving out a winner if there's not a good question jumped out to me. So get your questions in for next week, because you will have two of those bad boy tailgates, unless we give it to Ross in Harrisburg, a.k.a. you just give it to me.
All right, that's it for quarter number three from the Little Bat Studio. Preview of the Purdue game. Our picks and predictions is coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.